Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Thursday class, July 7th, 2022, 1 John.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John 3. And in preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. The very fact that we are even here this evening is a demonstration of who and what you are. And we thank you, sir, for the preservation of the canon of Scripture, the eternal and absolute truth of your word, that spiritual food, that manna from heaven, that enables us to grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we might fulfill the very plan, will, and purpose that you have for each one of our lives in the very short time that we are here. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. We are in 1 John 3:9, which is a verse that is a conundrum for a lot of people, a lot of Christians, and unfortunately a conundrum for a lot of pastors too. And I'm going to give you we haven't exegeted the entire verse yet, but I'll give it to the entire verse in corrected translation, and then we'll start over. Verse 9, anyone who is born of God, this is spiritual birth, regeneration, he does not commit sin. That is, he is not sinning, because the seed of God, that's God the Holy Spirit, abides in him. The believer is filled with the Spirit, living the spiritual life. And he is not able to sin because he has been born of God. Now this, like I said, is a conundrum for a lot of believers and unfortunately a lot of pastors. After salvation, faith in Jesus Christ, every believer still has an old sin nature, and he still commits personal sin. John's already taught that. 1 John chapter 1, 1 John 1 verse 8. If we claim, allege, contend that we have no sin nature, it's hamartia in the singular, no sin nature, we are deceiving ourselves, and the absolute truth of the Word of God is not in us. So he's already made it very clear. We all have a sin nature. Then in verse 10, if we claim, allege, contend that we stopped sinning sometime in the past, with the result that we no longer commit personal sins, then we make him, God, a liar. And his word, Bible doctrine, absolutely does not reside in us. It's not in our hearts. So, John's already made that very clear in 1 John 1, 8 and 10. So verse 9 is not what a lot of believers say. They come to the conclusion, well, if I am born of God through regeneration, then I don't sin. John is not teaching that. He made that clear in 1 John 1, verses 8 and 10. So verse 9, 1 John 3, 9, does not teach that once you believe in Christ that you will never sin again. Likewise, it does not teach that if you do sin after faith in Christ, that you have lost your salvation. Every believer commits personal sins after salvation. When the believer does sin, rebound, the problem-solving device of rebound. In many ways, perhaps the greatest of all of God's problem-solving devices. Rebound is the problem-solving device that restores him to fellowship with God, the filling of the Spirit, and your spiritual life. 1 John 1, 9, in between 1 John 1, 8 and verse 10. That's the deep point. 9's between 8 and 10. Better write that one down. If we acknowledge our sins to God, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, restoring us to fellowship with God, the filling of the Spirit, and your spiritual life. So while we are in our physical bodies on earth, now let me see. We are all on earth, I know that, and you are in your physical bodies. So we qualify. While we are in our physical bodies on earth, we will never arrive at the point where we will stop sinning. As we live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills and advance to spiritual maturity, we will change our brand of sin, and our sins often become more subtle. But we will never stop sinning. When I say we will, as we grow up to spiritual maturity, we change the brand of sin, the illustration is the spiritually mature believer will avoid sins of the tongue. At all cost, the spiritually mature believer will avoid sins of the tongue at all cost. He will stop all judging, all maligning, all slandering, all gossiping about others. In fact, the spiritually mature believer won't even listen to others judging and gossiping. When the believer does use his volition to commit personal sin, he automatically steps outside of the spiritual life. He's no longer filled with the Spirit. It is impossible to sin when you are living inside the spiritual life. It's impossible to sin when you are controlled and filled with the Holy Spirit. The decision to sin is the decision from your free will to go outside the spiritual life and enter the cosmic system. All sin occurs outside the spiritual life and inside the cosmic system. So verse 9, the beginning of it, 1 John 3, 9, anyone who is born of God, this is spiritual birth, regeneration, and the verb there, born, is genao. And the active voice, to bear, to beget, to give birth to, and the passive voice, which is what we have, it means to be born. This is spiritual birth, not physical birth, spiritual birth. Regeneration, born again. At the moment of faith in Jesus Christ, the believer is born again and receives a spiritual birth. God the Holy Spirit creates a human spirit, and God the Father imputes eternal life to that human spirit. Now the church age believer is trichotomous, a body, a soul, and a human spirit. And now he is indwelt and filled by God the Holy Spirit at the point of spiritual birth. Now he has a personal relationship with the living and true God, and he has fellowship with God. Now he has the filling of the Holy Spirit, which is the power to live the unique spiritual life of the church age. So we have anyone who is born of God. This is spiritual birth, regeneration. And that's as far as we have gotten, so let's get cracking. Doth not commit sin. Doth. I don't want any of you doth-ing. Doth not commit sin. The present active indicative of poieo with the objective negative ou plus the accusative singular of hamartia. The verb is poieo. P-O-I-E, long O, poieo. And poieo means to do or to commit. We have the objective negative ou, and that slams the door. And the noun hamartia, sin. So a couple of things. One, that objective negative ou is very important. It's very emphatic, and it slams the door. The objective negative ou is very emphatic and slams the door. Two, the born-again believer cannot sin while he is filled with the Holy Spirit, living the spiritual life. The born-again believer cannot sin while he is filled with the Spirit, living the spiritual life. God the Holy Spirit doesn't encourage any believer to sin. It's impossible. That's blasphemy. He doesn't sponsor sin. He doesn't condone sin. He doesn't have anything trying to get you to sin. That comes from you. You. Your free will. Your volition. Not the Holy Spirit. And you can't have God the Holy Spirit and the old sin nature controlling at the same time. When God the Holy Spirit controls your soul, the old sin nature's not. So, your free will has to come in. You. So point three, only the intrusion of human volition, your free will, can change temptation into sin and take the believer outside the spiritual life. Only the intrusion of human volition, your free will. You have a free will that can, and when temptations come up, you can say no. All you have to do is say no. It's the best word that you have in your vocabulary in the spiritual life. The temptation, they're going to come up, they're going to come up, they're going to come up. All you have to do is say no. No. Hell with it. Hey, I've done that enough times and I've gotten clobbered and that's over. No. However, you have a free will and the temptation can come up and you can say yes. And you say yes, you are outside the spiritual life and inside the cosmic system to say yes. So the only the intrusion of the human volition can change temptation into sin and take the believer outside the spiritual life. Four, the decision to sin destroys the filling of the Holy Spirit. You're not filled with the Spirit. You're grieving the Holy Spirit. You're quenching the Holy Spirit. And you're not in the spiritual life. Grieving the Spirit and quenching the Spirit is when you're in the cosmic system. You take your free will and you step right into the cosmic system to sin. Five, the moment you believe in Christ, all of your past sins as an unbeliever have been blotted out. All the sins you committed as an unbeliever, the moment you believed in Jesus Christ, all of those sins as an unbeliever were blotted out. They're over. They're gone. So the moment you believe in Christ, all of your past sins that you committed as an unbeliever have been blotted out. Six, you enter your unique spiritual life, which is can only be operated by the power of God, the Holy Spirit, and the power of the Word of God in your heart. You enter your unique spiritual life, the filling of the Spirit, and you are not sinning. Seven, living the spiritual life, the filling of the Spirit, you cannot sin. So, verse 1 John 3:9, anyone who is born of God, spiritual birth, regeneration, we're born again through faith in Christ. He does not commit sin. He is not sinning. Because you're in the spiritual life, you're empowered by God, the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Spirit. And so he is not sinning. And then it says, for his seed remaineth in him. This is the conjunction hati plus the noun sperma, with the genitive singular of autos, plus the present active indicative of meno, John's one of his favorite words, meno, plus the prepositional phrase and plus the dative singular of autos. Okay, hati. H-O-T-I, hati. Hati is used here as a causal conjunction. Now, after verbs of dicendi, it introduces an object clause. It's translated that, but that we don't have that. This is hati used as a causal conjunction, correctly translated because, and it gives the cause or the reason why the believer is not sinning at spiritual birth. Regeneration. So here is the cause or reason why the believer is not sinning at spiritual birth, regeneration. And then sperma. S-P-E-R-M-A, sperma. And we get our word sperm from sperma. A couple of things. One, literally it was used for seeds of plants or for male seed or semen. That's literally. Two, figuratively, it was used for descendants, children, posterity. But when you have with it the intensive pronoun autos, used as the third person personal pronoun, this is Koine Greek all the way. This never happened in classical Greek, only in Koine Greek. So you have autos in classical Greek is always an intensive pronoun, but in Koine Greek, most of the time it's a third person personal pronoun. A-U-T-O-S, autos. Now this is very important. We have autos with sperma, his seed. Who is his? God. God's seed. This is the seed of God. The seed of God is God the Holy Spirit. So this is autos sperma, his seed, the seed of God. God the Holy Spirit. Three. The seed of God is the beginning of a new birth, a spiritual birth. And this is the regeneration ministry of God the Holy Spirit that occurs at the moment of faith in Jesus Christ. The seed of God is the beginning of a new birth, a spiritual birth. The regeneration ministry of God the Holy Spirit at the moment of faith in Jesus Christ. So his seed is the seed of God here. God the Holy Spirit. Four. This is the beginning of a new life. A unique spiritual life of the church age. At physical birth, you have physical life. And then somewhere down the road, for me, it was between my junior and senior years of high school. I was an unbeliever all the way until in between my junior and senior years of high school. And then I listened to my football coach, who I respected very much and I loved very much. He was a believer in Jesus Christ. I didn't even know it. He was a believer in Jesus Christ, and he took me aside. He said, "Ole," he said, you ought to go to this Malibu, and not in California, not there. This is up in British Columbia. He said, "You need to go. It'll be the greatest week of your life if you go." He was a Christian, but he didn't tell me what was going to happen there. He didn't tell me this was a Christian camp. And you couldn't get there. No roads go into the place. Only way you can get there is by plane, seaplane, or by boat. And we went by boat. And when I got there, I couldn't believe how beautiful it was. They had a golf course built in right next to the ocean. And they had basketball court. They had, it was just all kinds of things. And I'm looking and I go, wow, this is fantastic. And then we got inside and sat down, and then a fella got up and he started talking about Jesus Christ, started talking about God and the Bible. I got so damn mad. I said, they didn't tell me that this was going to be, we're talking about God and the Bible. I got so mad that the next day we were out on the golf course, I did everything possible to be an ass. I was a first class ass. And people would hit the ball in my fairway, I threw it in the ocean. They come and they say, "You see my ball? Yeah, it's out there in the ocean." And I did stuff like that all day long. Sure, you bring me to a place like this. And then that next night, we're in there. And the fellow who was speaking said, "Well, for a man to come to know God, you got to believe that God exists, and it's worth a man's while to try to find God." But let me first of all tell you from the Bible what man is like. And he went to Galatians 5. 19 and following, describing the sin nature. And when he went through describing the sin nature, he says, this is what man is like. This is what you are like. As he went through the list there, in the last 24 hours, I did every single one in that list, except adultery or fornication. I did. It's hard to do that on a golf course. I did every other sin in Galatians 5:19 and following, and I just turned beet red. And I thought somebody told him what I was doing out there. No, nobody did that. This is just God the Holy Spirit. God the Holy Spirit, the Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. And the Holy Spirit took the Word of God and pierced me right through. It was God the Holy Spirit showing me what I was really like. And then after he said that, now let me show you what God is like. And he went through Galatians 5:22 and 23. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, fidelity, tolerance, self-control. And against these things there is no law. That's the first time anybody ever told me what God is like. That's the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit produces the very character of Christ in you and through you. Well, I wanted to have that living inside of me. And then he gave the gospel and explained what Jesus Christ did on the cross, and that all the sins of the whole world and all the sins of all of you here were poured out on Christ, and Christ paid the penalty for all those sins. And if you simply believe in Him, He will live inside of you, and these characteristics will be produced in you and through you. Well, I believed in Christ right there. When I went back to my cabin, I wanted to make sure God got the message, and I prayed again and again and again. I believe in Jesus Christ. 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 I was saved. As soon as I believed in Christ, I was indwelt and filled with the Spirit. I was born again, regeneration. And I actually went probably a week without sinning, which was a world record for me. Oh, and when I got home, I was afraid to tell anybody that I was a Christian, that I believed in Christ, because I thought my dad would throw me out of the house. And I was there at home several days, and my mother said, "Rich, what happened at that camp you went to?" I said, "Mom, I wanted to tell somebody, but I believed in Jesus Christ as my Savior." My mother just started crying. My mother was a Christian. She just started crying and cried. One of her prayers for all of us kids was that we would hear the gospel and place our faith in Christ. She said, "Well, everybody knows something. Your brothers, your sister, me, your dad, everybody knows something happened to you. Your sister came up to me and said, 'What happened to Richard? He's so nice to me now.'" Well, what is that? The fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, fidelity, tolerance, self-control. And you're not sinning. You can't. While you're filled with the Spirit, it's impossible to sin while you're living the spiritual life and filled with the Spirit. You have to go outside into the cosmic system and sin. So this seed here is the seed of God, God the Holy Spirit. So point three, the seed of God is the beginning of a new birth, a spiritual birth. The regeneration ministry of God the Holy Spirit. Four, this is the beginning of a new life, the unique spiritual life of the church age. Five, sperma emphasizes the indwelling and filling of the Holy Spirit in our new spiritual life that occurs at the moment of faith in Jesus Christ. So sperma emphasizes the indwelling and filling of the Spirit in our new spiritual life at salvation, faith in Christ, which makes it impossible for the believer to sin while you're living the spiritual life, while you're filled with the Spirit. Six, at your spiritual birth, you are indwelt and filled with the Spirit. At your spiritual birth, you are indwelt and filled with the Spirit. Seven, God cannot solicit to sin or sponsor sin. And that means God the Holy Spirit cannot solicit to sin or sponsor sin. It's impossible for God the Holy Spirit to solicit to sin or sponsor sin. That's something you have to do from your free will. And you have to go outside the spiritual life to do that. Eight, therefore you cannot be filled with the Spirit and sin. And then we have John, probably the most, agape. Meno and agape. That's real close. It was really fun. Deb and I do Wordle every morning, first thing. We are a team. I provide the first word, and it usually has nothing. Nothing, 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 nothing. And then Debbie, and then we work together and try this and try that. We got down to four. And Debbie says, is there a word agape? I said, agape. It's agape. Agape is agape. She put it in. That was it. You see, for Christians that know agape, you were right there on top of that. I couldn't think of agape, but I could think of agape. John's favorite words, agape and meno. Now, here we have meno again. M-E-N, long O, meno. And literally it means to stay. Figuratively, someone who does not leave the realm or sphere in which he finds himself. You remain, you continue, you abide. You remain, continue, abide. That is, God the Holy Spirit continues, remains, abides in him, in the believer, living the spiritual life. So the corrected translation, anyone who is born of God, spiritual birth, regeneration, he does not commit sin. He is not sinning because God's seed, the seed of God, God the Holy Spirit, abides in him, the believer filled with the Spirit, living the spiritual life. The meno is the believer, over and over used by John, living the spiritual life by the filling of the Spirit. So this is really a fantastic passage. Anyone who is born of God, spiritual birth, regeneration, he does not commit sin. He is not sinning because God's seed, God the Holy Spirit, abides in him. This is the believer filled with the Spirit, living the spiritual life. And he cannot sin. This is the conjunction chi plus the present middle indicative of dunamai plus the objective negative u once again and the present active infinitive of hamartano. The conjunction chi is a continuative chi, correctly translated and. And then we have two verbs. And you need two of these verbs. One is dunamai and the other is hamartano. Dunamai. That's D-U-N-A-M-A-I. Dunamai. This is where we get our word dynamite. Comes from dunamai. Dunamai means I can or I am able. The objective negative u slams the door. The principle is when the believer is living the spiritual life, filled with the Spirit, he absolutely is not able to sin. It's impossible for God the Holy Spirit to condone sin or sponsor sin. So when the believer is in the spiritual life, filled with the Spirit, he absolutely is not able to sin. But dunamai is just, he's not able. He's not able to what? Aha! Glad you asked. He's not able to hamartano. H-A-M-A-R-T-A-N, long O, hamartano. And this is an infinitive. And this is an exegetical infinitive. You have to have this because we have dunamai. Now, if you just had dunamai, he absolutely is not able. He's not able to what? He has to not able to do something. And that's the exegetical infinitive. It completes the idea of the main verb. The main verb is dunamai. The exegetical infinitive completes the idea of the main verb. He is not able to do what? He is not able to sin. So in classical Greek, hamartano means to miss the mark. Sin is missing the mark of the absolute righteousness of God. And it means to transgress or to sin. Corrected translation. Anyone who is born of God, spiritual birth, regeneration, he does not commit sin. He is not sinning because the seed of God, God the Holy Spirit, is abiding in him. The believer is filled with the Spirit, living the spiritual life. And therefore he is not able to sin. Because he is born of God. This is the conjunction hati plus the perfect passive indicative of genao plus the prepositional phrase ek plus the genitive singular of theos with the definite article. Hati once again is a causal conjunction because. And then we have genao once again. Twice now in verse 9. This is the same verb we had at the beginning of verse 9, and at the beginning of the verse, genao was an articular participle, substantival participle, functioning as a noun. Now, the second time, at the end of the verse, it is a perfect passive indicative, a verb. So we have the same verb. The first time it's used, it's a substantival participle functioning as a noun. And now, at the end of the verse, it's a perfect passive indicative, a verb. So, a couple of things. One, in the passive voice, which is what we have, it means to receive regeneration, to receive spiritual birth. Two, this is spiritual birth, regeneration. This is being born again. So this is spiritual birth, regeneration, being born again. Three, the passive voice is the voice of grace. Spiritual birth, regeneration, is the grace of God to each one of us. At the moment of our faith in Christ, we are graced out. We receive regeneration, and it's all the grace of God. It's all because of who and what God is, not who and what we are. For at the moment of faith in Christ, the believer is born again, receives spiritual birth by the grace and power of God. At the moment of faith in Christ, the believer is born again, receives spiritual birth by the grace and power of God. Five, God does all the work, and the believer receives the benefit, eternal salvation. God does all the work, and the believer receives the benefit, eternal salvation. Six, at the moment of faith in Jesus Christ, God the Holy Spirit creates a human spirit, and God the Father imputes eternal life to that human spirit. So at the moment of faith in Christ, God the Holy Spirit creates a human spirit, and God the Father imputes eternal life to that human spirit. Seven, the believer is entered into his unique spiritual life and is both indwelt and filled with the Holy Spirit. The believer is entered into his unique spiritual life, unique to the church age, unique to Jesus Christ first, and then unique to the royal family of God in the church age. So the believer is entered into his unique spiritual life and is both indwelled and filled with the Spirit. Eight, now he has a personal relationship with the living and true God. And he has fellowship with the living and true God. Now he has a personal relationship with the living and true God, and he has fellowship with God. Nine, now he has the filling of the Holy Spirit as the power to live this unique spiritual life. And then we have the prepositional phrase ek plus the genitive singular of theos is translated of God, from God, by God. By God. Let's get a principle from that. Our spiritual birth, our regeneration, is by the grace and power of God. Our spiritual birth or regeneration is by, ek plus the genitive singular of theos, is by the grace and power of God. So the corrected translation, anyone who is born of God, spiritual birth, regeneration, he does not commit sin. He's not sinning because the seed of God, God the Holy Spirit, abides in him. He is filled with the Spirit, living the spiritual life, and he is not able to sin because he has been born of God by the grace and power of God. All right, one. The seed of God is God the Holy Spirit. The seed of God is God the Holy Spirit. Two, at the moment of regeneration or spiritual birth, the church age believer is entered into the unique spiritual life and is both indwelt and filled with the Spirit. At the moment of regeneration, spiritual birth, the church age believer is entered into the unique spiritual life and is both indwelt and filled with the Spirit. 3. Every church age believer is filled with the Spirit at the moment of faith in Christ, spiritual birth. Every church age believer is filled with the Holy Spirit at the moment of faith in Christ, spiritual birth. For while he is in the spiritual life, filled, empowered by God the Holy Spirit, he cannot sin. While he is in the spiritual life, filled, empowered by God the Holy Spirit, he cannot sin. You have temptations, all you got to do is say no, no, and keep going. 5, God the Holy Spirit cannot solicit the believer to sin or sponsor sin. That's blasphemy to even think that. God the Holy Spirit cannot solicit the believer to sin or sponsor sin. Six, when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you are living the spiritual life. When you are filled with the Spirit, you are living the spiritual life. The fruit of the Spirit is being manifested out of your life to others. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, fidelity, tolerance, self-control. You're living the spiritual life. You're filled with the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is from inside out to everyone. And that, well, that's very beautiful. That has impact. And others, unbelievers and believers that don't have a clue about what the spiritual life is, they can see it. They see it. They see, what do they see? They see Jesus Christ, the very character of Christ being produced in you and through you. And that is powerful. Seven. You must use your own free will, your own volition, and step outside the spiritual life to sin. You must use your own free will, your own volition, and step outside the spiritual life to sin. Eight, sin is only committed in the cosmic system. It is not committed in the spiritual life. Sin is only committed in the cosmic system. Nine. The believer cannot be simultaneously controlled by God the Holy Spirit and controlled by the sin nature at the same time. That's impossible. The believer cannot be simultaneously controlled by God the Holy Spirit and controlled by the old sin nature at the same time. Ten, your volition is the difference. Your volition is the difference. Eleven, you have to take responsibility for your own decisions. And we're not here that long on planet Earth. I know you might think we're here a long time. We're not here that long. And what are we here for? To make decisions. To make decisions. You have to take responsibility for your own decisions. 12. Every sin of every believer is a vote for Satan and his cosmic system. Every sin of every believer is a vote for Satan. And we got to get voted here, so you're going to be voting here. I don't know if it'll make any difference, but anyway, don't get me going on voting. You should have to demonstrate and show that you are a citizen of the United States of America to vote. We got all these people coming across from Mexico, thousands and thousands and thousands. They are not citizens. They do not have the right to vote. Why is it that the Democrats and the liberals don't do anything about it and let them just flood in and flood in and flood in so they can just stuff the ballot boxes? It's evil. You should have to prove you are a citizen of the United States to vote. I have to show ID everywhere I go for anything. Anything I do. Well, not to get a bottle of wine. I used to, they can look at me and pretty well figure out that I'm old enough to get a bottle of wine. I used to have to show that too, but that was last week. But no, it should be mandatory all across the United States of America, but it's not. Every sin of every believer is a vote for Satan and his cosmic system. 13. Every decision to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills is a vote for God in the angelic conflict. Every decision to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills is a vote for God in the angelic conflict. 14. If the believer remains in the cosmic system long enough without rebounding, he becomes the devil's disciple. He has a mentor, but his mentor is not Jesus Christ. He's not a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the devil's disciple. If the believer remains in the cosmic system without rebounding long enough, he becomes the devil's disciple. 15. The believer living in the cosmic system is described many different ways in the scriptures. The devil's disciple, an antichrist believer, walking in darkness, living a lie, the enemy of the cross, the enemy of God. All of these are in the scriptures describing a believer living in the cosmic system. The devil's disciple, an antichrist believer, walking in darkness, living a lie, the enemy of the cross, the enemy of God. 60. While in principle the believer has been born of God and cannot sin in the spiritual life, filled with the Spirit. While in principle the believer has been born of God and cannot sin in the spiritual life, the filling of the Spirit. In practice, the believer has a free will. In practice, the believer has a free will and can choose to leave the spiritual life, reject the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and come under the influence of Satan. In practice, the believer has a free will and can choose to leave the spiritual life, reject the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and come under the influence of Satan. 17. The believer's volition is the major issue in the angelic conflict. The believer's volition is the major issue in the angelic conflict. Now, we're right on the verge of completing this section in 1 John, which actually started in 1 John 2:28 and will be completed halfway through verse 10. Let's take a look at this. This section all goes together. And we are almost at the end of it. It goes from 1 John 2:28 to 1 John 3:10a. 1 John 2:28. And now, dear children, congregation of believers, keep on abiding in Him. Keep on staying in fellowship with Him, filled with the Spirit, living the spiritual life. For the purpose that when He appears, the rapture of the church, we might have confidence and might not be disgraced, put to shame by Him, Jesus Christ, at His coming, in His presence at the judgment seat of Christ. If you know that He, the Lord Jesus Christ, is righteous, absolute righteousness in His deity and grace righteousness in His true humanity, you should have also come to know that everyone who practices righteousness, attains spiritual maturity and grace righteousness, has been born from Him. Chapter 3, verse 1. Consider how great, how wonderful, how glorious a love, virtue love, the Father has given to us, that we should be called the children of God. And we are the children of God. Therefore, the world, those living in the cosmic system, they do not understand us, believers living the spiritual life, because they did not understand Him, the Lord Jesus Christ. Beloved, now we are the children of God, students under authority and training of God. And what we will be has not yet been revealed. But we know that when He appears, the rapture, we shall be like Him. Our resurrection body will be similar to the resurrection body of our Lord Jesus Christ, because we shall see Him just as He is. Verse 3, and everyone, every spiritually mature believer who keeps on having and holding this hope, hope 3, in Him, Jesus Christ, keeps on purifying himself, just as that unique person, the Lord Jesus Christ, is pure. Verse 4, everyone, every believer who commits sin is also guilty of lawlessness. In fact, sin is lawlessness. Verse 5, indeed, you know that He, that unique person, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, was revealed, phanerao, revealed for the purpose that He might take away, remove, blot out our sins. In fact, there is absolutely no sin in Him, the impeccability of Christ. Anyone who abides in Him, living the spiritual life, as the Lord Jesus Christ lived the spiritual life, he is not sinning. But anyone who sins is not seeing Him. He's blinded to Christ, nor knowing Him. Verse 7, little children, teachable believers, let no one deceive you. The one who does righteousness maximum grace righteous production, living the spiritual life. He is grace righteous. He's a spiritually mature believer. Just as he, that unique one, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, in hypostatic union is grace righteous. The one who commits sin is guilty of sin. He is of the devil. He has become the devil's disciple. Because the devil has sinned from the beginning. And for this purpose, the Son of God was revealed, Phanerao, first advent, namely that he might destroy the works of the devil. Anyone who is born of God, spiritual birth, regeneration, he does not commit sin. He is not sinning. Because the seed of God, God the Holy Spirit, abides in him, the believer filled with the Spirit, living the spiritual life. And he is not able to sin because he has been born of God. And verse 10, the first half, by this is the conclusion. The first half of verse 10 is the conclusion of this section. By this, the students, the disciples of God, believers living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, and the disciples of the devil, believers living in the Satan's cosmic system, are manifest. They are apparent and obvious. Now you understand that the chapters and the verses are not God-breathed, inspired. This was put in by people. This section ends right there, and this first half of verse 10 is the conclusion from 1 John 2:28 to chapter 3, verse 9, and 1 John 3:10, the first half, is the conclusion of what has been taught from 1 John 2:28 to 1 John 3:9. And next time we will start with the conclusion. By this, everything from 1 John 2:28 to 1 John 3:9. By this, the students, the disciples of God, and who are they? The believers living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. And the disciples of the devil, and who are they? Believers living in Satan's cosmic system, are manifest. They are apparent and obvious. So that's the conclusion of this. And we'll take it there next time. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.